Well, we're joined now by Dr. George Carlo from our Westminster studio. Good evening, Dr. Carlo. First of all, if I could say to you about your warnings about the safety of mobile phones, the skeptic would say they've been around long enough, they're certainly out there in big enough numbers. If there was something wrong with them, the scientific community would have found it.
Well, that's exactly why we're here speaking to Parliament today, is that we have new data from our Safe Wireless Initiative in Washington, D.C., that indicates that the mechanism that underlies the cause for concern is clearly now elucidated. We understand that these information-carrying radio waves trigger protein membrane responses at the cell membrane level, leading to disruption of intercellular communication and buildup of free radicals inside the cell. This mechanism understanding is very important because it now explains the wide diversity in symptoms that we are seeing in patients who are reporting electrohypersensitivity and also other conditions such as headaches and unexplained anxiety that henceforth from this point forward now we'll know will be associated with these information carrying radio waves.
But it is fair to say that this is not necessarily the majority or consensus view among scientists. I mean, of the I think now 300 different reports done on this issue, as many say there is no impact on human biology from mobile phones as say there is.
Well, that's not exactly accurate at all. One of the problems here is that mobile phones were never tested for safety before they were allowed into the marketplace. And with the absence of pre-market testing, there are many people who are now only looking toward the epidemiological or the human studies for information. What we have done in the Safe Wireless Initiative is to put in place the data or the studies that would have been done had pre-market testing been accomplished 20 years ago. And those studies are the most efficient way to predict risk in humans, and that is why the mechanistic information is much more relevant to identifying these risks in humans, and also, more importantly, identifying avenues for intervention so that these conditions can be controlled and prevented in most cases.
But the confusion, I suppose, for a lot of us over here is that when you take another recent and very wide-scale survey that carried out in Denmark, where more than 400,000 mobile phone users were surveyed and found there was no link between mobile phone use and cancer. What are we to make of these conflicts?
Well, the first thing is the study didn't say that at all. Second thing is don't be swayed by the numbers. That particular study came out to much fanfare, and no reasonable reading of the science could lead to the conclusions that this is proof that cell phones are not a cause of brain cancer. And this is the problem that we have, in that as studies come out one at a time, the industry is able to spin those results and in many cases easily mislead the media. We know for a fact that in looking at studies that are funded by the industry, they are six times more likely to find no problem than studies that are done independently. We also now know that in the epidemiological literature, of which the study you mentioned is one, there are more than 300 statistically significant findings showing a link between use of cell phones and tumors.
I accept that maybe the media might be have the wool pulled over their eyes occasionally, but there are no governments calling for the ban or restriction on use of mobile phones. We don't see any big organizations like the World Health Organization asking for such bans. You know, are the big powers that be and the big scientists, they also are being deceived, are they, by these studies?
Well, I think that you have a diversity of purpose, and what's happening, in fact, one of the recommendations we made to your parliament or to the parliament here in Westminster today was that there needs to be a new program put in place in the United Kingdom where clinical studies that are done to allow doctors and primary care practitioners to be able to discern diagnoses of these electromagnetic radiation-related conditions and therapeutic interventions. And this type of program does not exist here. And this is very different from research studies, where research is being done to cross the T's and dot the I's so that all of the scientific evidence can be lined up in a way that is acceptable to everybody. As clinicians and as public health doctors, we many times have to make intervention or prevention decisions with imperfect science. And what's important from our point of view in the Safe Wireless Initiative is that we have a registry where we have now tens of thousands of patients who are complaining of symptoms that are consistent with the mechanistic underpinning that we have now elucidated. So
Dr.
that
George,
when you have people
Dr. George
who are
Carl,
sick...
We've run out of time there, but Dr. George Carlo, thanks for talking to us. I know you're on the way to Dublin to speak to scientists here. We appreciate your time.